Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. We got JC lined up here, and then we're going to have Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus breaking down the NFL playoffs, also get his thoughts on the coaching changes and moves and hires in the National Football League. If you got any NFL questions, shoot them our way for Steve. But first, let's head on over to the Titan Noir Hotline. We're joined by Sean McVay early in the morning while out on the West Coast.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, listen, we did great. You know, everybody was talking about Arizona. And the Rams, I think from start to finish, pretty much took care of that game or handled it anyway. Very good execution offensively. The defense stepped it up. Murray was ineffective. The Cardinals' problems in the last six games, where they lost four of those six during the season, I think were largely because of the loss of DeAndre Hopkins. When you can't have a weapon like that and you can't stretch the field, Kyler Murray was not comfortable for the last, I don't know, quarter of the season, and that's why the Cardinals lost.
No, so I heard this, JC, and I meant to pull it up, and I'm going to try to pull it up now.
All right.
Cliff Kingsbury, in like the last 10 years of being a head coach.
Right.
It is incredible, the last six to seven games in his season.
Yeah.
He goes like five. He goes like 1-6. So, 1-7.
Yeah.
It so happened the other last year. Yeah. It happened this year. And what it is
teams are getting used to what he's doing.
Yeah. The style of play, people figure it out. But it was an amazing stat.
That's a trend, QB, and I can't ignore that trend. And I do agree to a certain extent that folks do sort of figure out kind of what he's up to. But, you know, they said that about McVay, too. You know, everybody figured out.
No, they haven't.
Well, I mean, I've heard people say that they figured out the play action, the stretch, all this kind of stuff that McVay likes to run. And you know, it's just, I think, a matter of, in this case for Arizona, because, again, they at one point were the top team in the NFC record-wise, winning games on the road everywhere they went. Defensive coordinators, you know, there was nothing different about much of anything except their best player didn't play. And that best player on the outside is a weapon. And you lose that guy, it's kind of like, you know, Alabama lost their wide receivers. You saw what happened to the quarterback. It just hurts. And I don't think A.J. Green's as good as DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think Christian Kirk is either. And that's a big loss. And so I think that's what happened. But regardless, Arizona's done. The Rams are going to play Tampa Bay. The Rams beat Tampa Bay in week four, beat them rather easily. Doesn't mean it's going to happen again. But you've got a Tampa Bay team now that has a lot of injury issues, that's been playing with injury issues and is a different team than I think what the Rams saw in week four. And I think the Rams have a great chance of winning this game.
John says on Facebook Live, interesting fact on SportsCenter, Tom Brady's older than every opposing NFC coach left in the playoffs. Now, that is amazing, but every one of these coaches are like 34 or 35 years old. Wow. They're young. They're very young. Jan says, JC has new LA gear from selling those playoff tickets for $25,000.
Wait till you see what happens, what I get for the Super Bowl, baby. Wait till you, now. I thank you, Dan. Now, listen, the Super Bowl is a lottery. So, as a season ticket holder and a seat licensee,
okay,
you get a chance to buy Super Bowl tickets.
To hell with losing DeAndre Hopkins. Here's the point that I'm making. Okay, listen to me.
Make that up.
No, go ahead. Listen to these stats.
Cliff Kingsbury. I get it. Stats.
No. I'm getting ready to read them to you verbatim.
Okay.
At Texas Tech in 2013, lost five of his last six. 2014, lost four of his last six. 2015, lost four of his last six. 16, lost six of the last eight. 17, lost seven of the last eight. 18, lost five of the last five. goes to the Cardinals in 19, loses 7 of his last 9 games. In 20, lost 5 of his last 7 games. And in 21, lost 5 of the last 6 games.
Wow. So
there is a track record
trend
there.
It's a trend. It's definitely
a
trend.
Huge trend.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't think you can – at least – you have to acknowledge that it
– Well, I agree with that. But
that's a great player.
That's 10 years right there, JC, I just threw out there.
Well, it's something that Arizona's going to have to try and figure out, or he is, or they're going to have to change their leadership. And I don't know. I mean, they were too good a team this year to collapse like that, but they did. Injuries did have a factor, I still believe, but you can't ignore that trend, and it's good. It's definitely interesting. Yeah.
John says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melton Law, didn't Shane pick Arizona to beat the Rams?
Did I pick?
But yes, I have the Rams going to the Super Bowl, so that makes a lot of sense.
No, no, you have the Rams going to the Super Bowl?
JC, in August, who did I pick to go to the Super Bowl?
You picked the Bills.
And who
else? Did you pick the Rams? Okay.
Yes.
I thought you picked the Packers. Well, you
have I picked the Packers now. I'm going to be like you, change my pick every week.
Well, no, I didn't change my pick. I had the Rams and the Browns. But, the Rams had a good game. Now, they got beat by the 49ers the week before, which kind of muddled up the way the playoff picture looked. It changed who was going to play whom. But it still basically is down to, I think, the best 8 teams. I think you do have the best 8 teams. Absolutely do. And to me, there really isn't much of a Cinderella case to be made at all for any of these teams, because Buffalo-Kansas City is going to be a fabulous matchup, as should Green Bay and San Francisco, even though the Niners are nursing serious injuries here. Bosa is still in concussion protocol. He probably won't play. Tampa Bay and the Rams, excellent game. Always has been a good rivalry between those two teams. Good game to watch as well. Very entertaining. Brady and the Rams. And then you have, Cincinnati, who won the division, playing against Tennessee. That's a great game. It's good. This is the best weekend in the NFL season that we're about to embark upon. And I think, it's a toss-up in many of these games. It's going to be hard to pick winners. I do think that the Packers have a huge advantage playing a beat-up San Francisco team at home in the very cold weather. I do think that will help Green Bay. But don't count out the 49ers. They could be the team as the 6th seed that surprises everybody. But would you really be surprised? I mean, I wouldn't really be surprised. They've got great players. They've got players who played in the Super Bowl. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll make our picks on Friday on the Peace and Industry weekend picks. I have mine already figured out. So we'll see. Some sad news, JC, in the sports world. Right. One of my favorite broadcasters of all time passed away yesterday, Ron Franklin. Some people may not know who Ron Franklin is.
Yes, on ESPN college football.
He used to be the main guy on the primetime games. Just a fabulous broadcaster. His famous line was, "Here's the situation. The line to gain is the 42-yard line." So, he was one of my favorites.
And, he was. You know who else passed away, QB? That's pretty sad. Was a great sports writer who covered golf. And, Tim Rosefort was. Rosefort was just tremendous. So well-respected in the industry. Did it for decades. Wrote books, and he had Alzheimer's, and he died at 67 years old. So that is just tragic. It's tragic when young people die, isn't it? And I think Tim Rosefort was really good on the Golf Channel, as the Golf Channel evolved. But before that, he was writing books and things, and it's just terrible. But Ron Franklin, he's very good. Who was his color guy? I'm trying to
think.
Mike Godfrey. That's right.
Ooh, Mike Godfrey, he could kick back some drinks while on air, supposedly.
Him and Don Meredith. I think that was so much fun. Go back on Google, folks, if you want to treat yourself, if you're interested in broadcasting.
I actually went to YouTube this morning.
And
you can listen to, and just his openings on the Saturday night ESPN game were outstanding.
Yeah, Florida and Auburn. And I just thought it was, it was great having Saturday Night Football on ESPN back then. Now it's taken for granted because every game's on TV, every single game. Mm-hmm. And while I'm on the subject of college football real quick, yesterday it was pretty much solidified that these buffoons cannot figure out a college football playoff expansion. And we're looking at 2026 now being the earliest date. And I remember how last summer, how we all got so excited about this 12-team playoff expansion. And then all of a sudden, the Houston Chronicle breaks the news of Texas and Oklahoma, and people get their feelings hurt. Now nobody trusts each other. They can't come to consensus. There will be no college football playoff expansion, likely until the next TV contract. That is four seasons away, and it really hurts the fans that these guys have hurt feelings, don't trust each other, and they don't. And now we have fans who suffer, because I think that was and is the best solution for college football. But instead, we're going to live with this consolidated power at the top, even though it may have stayed that way for a while. A 12-team football expansion would have been best for the fans. It would have been best for college football to grow. And it's not going to happen until 2026 because these guys have their feelings hurt and they can't trust each other. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. It's too bad. No doubt about that. Dan says on Facebook Live, Ron Franklin was originally from Mississippi. Yeah, he went to Ole Miss, did a lot of the Big 12 basketball games. But yeah, he will definitely be missed. You know, people are talking about here. John says, my buddy and I were talking. ESPN has nobody to do these primetime college games. Chris Fowler just isn't it. I think Fowler and Herb Street do a good job, but they are nothing like Mike Godfrey and Ron Franklin, in my opinion.
No.
They're over the top on some of the way they announce games.
I don't disagree with that. The first people who do it seem to always be the ones who you like the most, especially if they're famous, people like them and they have longevity doing it. And that's what Ron did. But again, QB, I'm just really disappointed in the college football oligarchy, if you will, because, the ACC
has got a lot of problems going on right now.
Oh, that does. But the ACC was really the problem here with this expansion thing. And that's they wanted to scapegoat the other problems as to why they couldn't come up with a playoff, which is ridiculous because you can still come up with a playoff and work on the other things that you need to work on. But that's how it is. Nobody trusts each other. And you've really got a broken marriage between these conference commissioners.
Yeah, Rap Spot is expanding, folks. They're opening a second location at 1931 North Main Street. Rap Spot's teamed up with the crew at Vibrant Vinyl Works to offer color change wraps, advertising wraps, custom striping hood wraps, and wall wraps. Go check out our good friends at the Rap Spot. All right, JC, speaking of college football, a lot of turnover, a lot of transfers. JT Daniels, if you missed it, is leaving Georgia.
Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Dan Lanning. Obviously has Bo Nix, but there's several Oregon Ducks that are transferring to Auburn, which is interesting. But I told you, JC, you did not want to listen to me and another guy that kind of knows football. USC is just getting everybody. Jerry Rice's son is leaving Colorado, who's a wide receiver, to go to USC. USC also got like three defensive linemen out of the Big 12. They're going to get Caleb Williams. I'm telling you right now, go ahead and put USC in the mix for next year. Andy says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, Kamari Gamble going to UCF. Were you surprised he left? He must have known he was not a Napier type. Yeah, I guess. I mean, some people just don't like or can't handle, even though these coaches hadn't really coached much. They just started their all-season conditioning yesterday, I believe, or maybe it was Monday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Kamari Gamble is going to go play at UCF, and we wish him the best. So it is what it is. But yeah, a lot of Alabama guys have transferred. Jaleel Billingsley, who I think is a really good player, who didn't play up to his potential this year, has gone out there with Sarkisian at Texas.
Mm-hmm. They've Marcus lost some Banks, guys.
A lot of guys. Spanks, a wide receiver, a defensive back transfer to Mississippi State. So there's a wide receiver from Alabama that was here on a visit. I forgot his name. So we'll see how all that.
I think his name is Javon Baker, I think. I think that's his name. But you know, Alabama's also had some guys declare for the draft, of course, but they've also picked up some players, you know, not to worry about Alabama. I mean, they picked up this Georgia Tech running back. They picked up Eli Ricks, a defensive back from LSU corner. They're fine. They got a lot of guys coming back too. So it'll be, you know, the typical thing that we see every year at the end of the season with this transition of players from here to there. I wasn't worried about Billingsley. He, you know, at first when he came upon the scene, Sarkisian was his OC, and it seemed to work out great. Once Sarkisian left, Billingsley kind of fell off the main frame, so to speak, and so off he goes back to coach Sarkisian. That's not a surprise, but they're fine. It's not a big deal. Florida, some Louisiana Lafayette offensive linemen, I think, coming in. Did I read that as well?
Yeah, they got a bunch of guys from there.
Couple of Lafayette players coming in. That's a comfort thing, and obviously a coach that likes what he had there and wants to keep them going. And
well, so, a couple of them were highly rated by the NFL scouts.
Pretty good, like pretty good players. Yeah.
We'll take them, trust me.
Yeah.
Florida State quarterback Chubba Purdy, who never really played for the Semis, transferred to Scott Frostead at Nebraska. So,
yeah,
that's kind of the news and notes. Two more big recruiting weekends, and then we'll wrap up with national signing.
Yeah,
we got a Facebook Live. Facebook Live here brought to you – no, I'm sorry, not a Facebook Live. We have a text on the Titan Amara hotline, all right? Okay. And it comes from – I'm not sure who. But it says – he sends me a picture here. It's a picture of – it looks like Bruce Feldman's Twitter account says, source, Ty Darlington, a former star O-line at OU, has been on staff with the Sooners since 2017. He's leaving Norman to become quality control at Florida. Yes, he's a quality control guy. Cheston Blackshear, former Gator offensive lineman, is also a quality control. So there's going to be a ton of folks out there. Natasha asked on Facebook Live here, do y'all think Stetson Bennett returns to Georgia? Weird remarks he made about the coaching staff you may have already covered on previous days. I've been out of town. Thank you. I did not hear his remarks. I don't think Stetson comes back. Stetson would be dumb to come back.
Well, you can finish on top, you know. You kind of say, well,
yes. I mean, dude, I'm telling you,
but
when we're all dead, there's going to be a movie made about this kid.
Yeah. And there still might be, even if he comes back, QB. But football players want to play football, don't they? And
right.
And so he's not – listen, one thing you can say about Stetson Bennett is he's certainly not afraid to compete. He doesn't care who else is in the quarterback room. And isn't Todd Monken still the OC there? So,
yes.
So I don't see – I mean, I understand the reason why not to, but remember, football players, as you know, want to be football players. They got another year to go, and Stetson's got a great team to come back to. It's not like he's going to Georgia Tech or somewhere. He's coming back to the defending national champion football team. Well, I can see exactly why he would want to try to come back and play for the Georgia Bulldogs. And who knows? Who's to say right now today they wouldn't win it again? So I think it makes sense that if he wants to do it, hell, he's not afraid. They had to beg him to come back from Louisiana anyway. So, I mean, he basically told him, I'll let you know. And then he did come back, and boom, here he is winning a title. So, QB, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But we all understand the case to be made for finishing out on top, and very few athletes really do win their last game, don't they? In a championship, at least. So that's something to consider. But I think football players want to play football, and I would not be surprised in the least if he did come back, especially with that OC. That OC loves him. The OC has been behind him. The OC has said that they can win a championship with him. Shoot, why not? Why not try again?
Well, I was right there on board with him the whole year. Joseph says, Javon Baker's father told On3 that he believes that Florida is the preferred landing spot for his son, but we'll see how things play out.
Yeah, he played a little bit in the semifinal game when Mechie went down. When Mechie went down, he was playing in the semifinal game against Cincinnati. Didn't do a whole lot, but they didn't really target him either. But he was on the roster. He's in the game.
Hang on a second. We have a couple people here talking about the quarterback situation up there. They're saying with Stetson, if Stetson's out, JT leaving, insert Jacksonville's Carson Beck, I don't think he'll be the starter. I think it'll be that Brock Vandergriff, or there's one other kid up there. I can't think of his name right now. because I think Carson's had plenty of opportunities to win the job, but hasn't. But who knows? Caleb Williams, people still talk about him going to Georgia. I think he's going to be at USC. I don't know why he would not go to USC. That makes absolutely no. Marissa says that Stetson Bennett wants to go to law school. So
yeah, well, I mean, playing one more season of college football does not prohibit him from doing law school. But if that's what he prefers to do next year, you know, more power to him.
Matt says Arch Manning to UF. Billy Napier and a couple other coaches visited Arch the last couple of days. I know Archie. I know Archie Manning, the dad, granddad of Arch, really likes Billy Napier. He actually sent me a text a couple of days ago about Billy Napier. But I don't see Arch Manning coming here unless things really change. I think there's three schools, maybe four schools in the mix for him. I think it's Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson would be my choices.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard too. He hasn't visited here either, so that's a stretch. But he could go to the basketball game tonight where the Gators are playing South Carolina and watch me and meet
They're
me.
They're not playing South Carolina, so don't show up.
They're playing Mississippi State where he can meet me and my kids. And we'll talk it up if you want us to. We'll be at that tonight. 6:30, by the way. Nice time to start a game. Good tip-off time. Get that thing going. Be done by 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock, and not too late. Last night, great games in college basketball, QB. The argument that a lot of folks, anti-SEC folks, are making is that the Big 12 is the best conference in basketball. I don't know. I think it's splitting hairs.
No, they already said Florida. I mean, they already said the SEC is the best conference.
Well, I've heard people say the Big 12 was. But that's splitting hairs. It doesn't matter. It's just good teams playing, right? And last night, we had some SEC games that were kind of blowouts. Missouri blowing out Mississippi. Arkansas blowing out South Carolina. And Tennessee winning by 8 up at Vanderbilt. But then we also had in the ACC some pretty good games. We had Miami, who, if I'm not mistaken, is winning the ACC right now. They are a very good basketball team. And then you had the Duke Blue Devils come to Tallahassee and lose in overtime to the Florida State Seminoles. The Duke Blue Devils ranked 6th in the country, losing to Florida State in overtime. Florida State's kind of got it going on a little bit right now. They've won a couple of games. They're 11-5. They're 4th in the ACC, but they're playing much better than they were earlier in the year, and they beat Duke last night at home. So that was a big win for them, obviously. Miami, though, is a team you should keep your eye on in the ACC and nationally. They are a team that beat Duke on the road. You know, they won at Duke, and Miami is right now the team on top of the ACC. What do you think of that?
It's crazy because, you know, when basketball season starts and it's right around, they have those tournaments on like Thanksgiving Day and you're sitting around eating you flip them on. I remember watching, I don't know who Miami was playing. It was some not a very good basketball team there in Orlando, I think they're playing. And they got blown out. And I was like, this is one of the worst college basketball teams I've ever seen.
Well,
and boy, are they playing good now.
Dude, they won by, I mean, you beat North Carolina by 28 points.
North Carolina is not very good either, though. I watched about 10 minutes of that game last night, JC.
Yeah,
and I was like, this is not a very good North Carolina team. Take nothing away from Miami, but they're not very good.
Well,
we got a text on the Titan MR text line real quick from Darryl. He says, speaking of the NFL, my wife and I went and saw the Kurt Warner movie. It's very good. I've not seen it. I've heard very good things about it.
Cool story.
Have you seen it, JC?
Not
you're
yet,
a Rams fan. How have you not gone to see it?
Well, he picked the Cardinals, so I'm a little pissed at him. But he is a beloved Ram.
Okay, hang on, Rams hang on a
fans,
second.
For real Ram fans.
Why did he pick the Cardinals?
He just did. And
you don't think the Cardinals gave him more money?
I don't know. Don't care. It was a playoff game. He's an analyst. His job is to pick a winner. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you're talking about that. I'm talking about he played for the Rams, JC.
No, Kimmy.
Who gives a damn who he picks?
I know, but Rams.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Rams fans were up in arms that he would pick the Cardinals in a playoff
game. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. People
it's not
need
the
to
stupidest
realize
thing you've ever
he
heard.
He is paid to analyze a game and pick
I just
who
said
he thinks
that.
He's going to win.
Yes,
it's no different than when people get upset with Doring or get upset with Pollock or any of those guys when they pick against their team.
Yeah, well, Rams fans are kind of weird.
Yeah, y'all are.
Well, y'all. So I'm looking up, I'm trying to find that game you were talking about that was so miserable. Miami lost to Dayton earlier in the year. Maybe it was that one. Maybe it was the
maybe it was Dayton, because Dayton's not very good.
The game you were talking about is they played FAU and won by 2 points. And it
they lost to somebody. Maybe it was Dayton. They lost. Was it blown Dayton. Out? Were they blow them out?
Dayton beat them by 16. Yeah. So,
Dayton's not very good.
But let them play Dayton tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. They would definitely beat them. But
basically, Jason, you're on the Miami basketball.
No, I'm just acknowledging that they are right now on top of the Atlantic Coast Conference. With all the great blue blood basketball programs, and the Miami Hurricanes should be taken seriously. That's what I'm saying, and they're really good, I think. So you lead a conference, you're a good team. And tonight, we're going to see some SEC teams play. But listen, the Big 12 has a lot of great basketball programs in it, and some good games last night as well. But you can make an argument with either conference as to right now who's the stronger of the two. But there are even opinions on that.
Dan says Duke is the only ranked ACC team this year in basketball. Yeah. Poor ACC. Yeah. They can't even be relevant in basketball.
Yeah. I know. And they're blowing up the college football playoff. They got guys like Danny Cannell always bitching about some other conference. It's just I've never really gotten into the ACC. It's just I couldn't ever figure out Syracuse, the Boston College, the Pittsburgh angles. And I know it's about television and ratings and everything. Who cares? Does anybody want to watch Boston College play anything? Does anybody want to really watch Syracuse play anything? And if you're not in New York? And so the ACC as a conference to me is just kind of it's flailing out there. It's nothing special.
So now that Clemson sucks. College basketball here. We got a Facebook Live brought to you by Mellon Law. Comes from Andy. Says Chandler Parsons retiring from the NBA. Was he the most underrated Gator ever, always seen to play second fiddle to Calathes? I heard he retired. I don't know when the last time he actually played in the NBA. It's been a while.
Couldn't tell you.
But boy, I tell you what, he, in my opinion, I don't know if he's the most underrated. It could be Andy, but he is probably one of the most improving basketball players I've ever saw. From like when he first started playing at Florida till his last year as a Gator, and then what he did in the NBA. I mean, he's a guy that I would have said there's no chance this guy could play major college basketball or in the NBA. But he was a hell of a player.
There he is. Yeah. Well, the Gators need some players. They need some players. They need somebody to shoot the basketball. They need to make free throws. They need to win some games. They need to go on an 8-game winning streak if that's even possible. I don't know.
Joseph said he got into a car accident and just settled for a substantial amount. I did not know that either.
He must have called Dan Newland. Okay. Well,
Daniel says here on Facebook Live, who are the Rams anyway? They're in L.A. They're in St. Louis. They're in L.A. again. The only NFL team I despise and can't wait to destroy them in Tampa. Go TB12.
Well, the Raiders, you could say the same thing for them. They had a transient history between Los Angeles and Oakland, and now Vegas, and they're just it's a different world out in California, folks. A guy brought the San Diego Chargers to Los Angeles of all things because he couldn't get his way on a stadium that he could have easily funded. People just do what they want with their toys, don't they? And that's what those are. These teams are toys to people like Stan Kroenke, the Davises. And guys, and the guy running the Espanos family who runs the Chargers. They're just transient teams. But the Rams did stay in St. Louis for 20-some-odd years, right? They won a Super Bowl. They could have won two. And, Kurt Warner's a great story, of course. Greatest show on turf. One of the best offenses you'll ever have seen in your life as a football fan. And they did it that year. And the team they beat, the Tennessee Titans, former Houston Oilers, that's another team that had to move. The Colts have moved. The Browns have moved. The Giants have moved. Everybody's moved at some point, it would feel like, or it seems like. Not everybody, but a lot of teams have. So it's just common. That's the way it is. These owners, these teams are their toys, and they play with them. Tampa Bay, I think if they were fully healthy, had all their weapons like they did last year or at the beginning of the year, this would be a much tougher game for the Rams, but the Rams beat them in week 4 with those weapons, right? the Rams have a way of getting to Tom Brady, just like the Saints do. And so I
because think they got a really good defense.
It's a pass rush, you know, and with Von Miller healthy now, dude, come on. I mean, don't this. And then Cam Akers, did you see what an effect he had on the game the other night? Woo, watch out.
They say we ran out of time. We got to get to somebody that actually knows about the National Football League. Our good friend Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus is going to join us. Take off our Rams gear now.
We'll go pick on Friday.
All right, that's JC Joyce on the Titanomar Hotline. We're going to come take a quick timeout, come back. We'll get Steve Palazzolo. If you got any NFL questions, shoot them our way. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Our gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Aver and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Steve Spurrier here. You know, making a reservation at my restaurant is easier than a Saturday afternoon homecoming game against Vandy. You don't have to call or email. Just go to Spurrier's.com, hit the reservation button, pick a date, number of guests, and a time. It's so simple, I can do it. In fact, I just did. Maybe I'll see you tonight.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. At South State Bank, we understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, Banking 4, member FDIC. Now we're going to the Titan MR Hotline, and we're now going to be joined by Pro Football Focus's Steve Palazzolo, Senior Analyst. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. All right, Steve. Let's first question I want for you. What team was the biggest disappointment in your mind this year in the National Football League?
Oh, man, in the entire league, I mean, well, everybody's disappointed in Dallas now, but I don't think that would be fair just because of the recency bias of, you know, the playoffs. But I'm trying to think off the top of my head here who I was a little disappointed with. The Vikings might be up there, you know, I think with what they got out of Kirk Cousins at quarterback. I thought he was really good this year, and they just couldn't get over it. They just played like a 500 team. They played up to their competition or down to their competition. So I thought the Vikings could be in that bucket. You know, the Seahawks, you could say, coming out at 7-10 with, you know, they still had Russell Wilson, could be in despite having his injury. So I'd say the Vikings and Seahawks are the two teams that come to mind if you're not going to overreact to Dallas.
Hang on a second. We're getting background noise here. Not from you, from our producer. Okay, Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, so all the coaching spots that are available in the National Football League, what are you hearing out there? And which job in your mind is the best one for a new coach to walk into?
Yeah, I'm back and forth on what the best one is. I think Miami's intriguing, and I think Denver's intriguing. I think when you look at the Dolphins, I thought Brian Flores did a pretty good job there. Obviously, he's gone now, and I don't know what was happening behind the scenes there, but they were starting to turn that franchise around, starting to turn that roster around. Certainly need to upgrade the offensive line, make a decision on Tua at quarterback, but I think Miami's got some intriguing pieces there. And I look at the Broncos, and I think their roster is pretty good as well. Secondary has a lot of potential. Their playmakers really good on offense, especially if they stay healthy. But another situation where you got to figure out quarterback. But I think there are a lot of there's a good foundation in Denver. The only thing that makes it less of a good job is you're in the same division as Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. So if you're afraid of competition, it might not be the best job. But as far as a team to build, I really like what the Broncos have done, and I think they're probably a couple pieces away from being much more competitive.
Obviously, we have a bunch of Jack fans, and we know that whole cluster this year with Urban Meyer. I think their roster is just not very talented at all. I think Trevor Lawrence has a chance to be very good. Don't they need to just kind of clean house? And then, I mean, does anybody really want that job?
I don't think so after what was Justine. I mean, a year ago, it looked somewhat attractive, right? You got a clean slate. Trevor, you know you had the number one overall pick. You're going to have Trevor Lawrence in there. And, okay, let's rebuild this thing from the ground up. That's what it felt like was going to happen with Urban Meyer there. But clearly the opposite happened. And, you know, there's issues down there. You know, the intriguing part, I guess, is that the expectations are even lower despite having the number one overall pick. But yeah, offensive line's got issues. The entire defense, everything pretty much needs to get overhauled. And you know, the new coach has to figure out, okay, how are we going to put Trevor Lawrence in position to succeed? Because I think that was the most concerning thing about this entire season is that Trevor Lawrence, outside of maybe a game or two, just didn't look like the number one overall pick. And, even when he looked like he was ready to turn a corner, he didn't. And how much is that of that is on him? How much of it is on the environment? I do believe that the environment and everything around him is a huge factor there. So, yeah, the Jags have a lot of work to do. And the good news is they do have a Trevor Lawrence to build around.
Yeah. We got a question for you here, Steve, on Facebook Live. It comes from Danny. He says, Steve, is there any truth that Dallas will let Mike McCarthy go?
You know, I thought there could have been coming out of Sunday, but I'm guessing no. Certainly not going to say never with Jerry Jones, but Jerry's comments after the game basically saying, hey, we have the most talented team, you know, pretty pointed comments basically saying Jerry and Stephen Jones have done a great job of adding talent. And I don't know that I disagree, you know, outside of a really bad contract that they gave to Zeke Elliott. They've done a really good job of adding talent to that roster, and you know they're looking for someone to put it all together. And I could see the Joneses looking at Mike McCarthy and saying, "All right, we got to move on quickly to the next person." I don't think we'll see it this year, but I think you'll see a very, very hot seat for Mike McCarthy for next year because Jerry Jones sounded like he was pretty impatient given the talent that they've accumulated there.
Yeah. Before we jump into the playoffs, Steve. Everybody wants to talk rookie quarterbacks. There were a bunch of them that played this year. But one that I really liked in college, and I think he's going to be a really good pro. You guys break them down play by play. But Davis Mills played really well for the Houston Texans late in the year. When you look at how – I know he didn't play as much as the other rookie quarterbacks, but in your mind, out of the ones that did play, who performed the best?
Yeah, I mean, Davis Mills – was probably the second best rookie. I mean, that's just the reality. Mac Jones was the best. And I don't want to just say he was in, you know, Mac Jones wasn't just in the best situation in New England. I think he performed the best. He wasn't asked to do a ton, but he was, as advertised, coming out of Alabama, accurate, good decision-making. Even in the Buffalo game, when things looked like they could go south, he did continue to bounce back, didn't get much help from his teammates in that game. So, it's, you know, I think Mac Jones was the best, and I think Davis Mills was the second best, and that was a big surprise for me. I really liked all those first-round quarterbacks. I thought Zach Wilson would look better and Trevor would look better, and Fields, I thought, kind of, you know, had his flashes, but the expected ups and downs. But Davis Mills did a really nice job throwing the ball down the field. Decision-making could be a little bit better. But for a third-round rookie who had not played a ton of football in college, I thought Davis Mills definitely exceeded expectations and did some really nice things for the Texans.
Facebook Live here brought to you by Meldon Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. Good question here. From Johnny says, Steve, Mel Kiper is projecting Malik Willis as the first QB taken. Does PFF have Malik Willis as the number one college QB coming out?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just grinding through Malik Willis tape right now. It is a fascinating study because I really think Willis has Josh Allen-like throws in him and incredible running ability, and then some other throws that are just, you know, you'd never want to see on tape from a college quarterback. It is an incredible roller coaster ride. I don't know where the NFL is going to go at this point. There is nothing clear cut for us right now at PFF. Our draft expert, Mike Renner, really likes Sam Howell as the top quarterback. I could really see from ESPN to NFL to PFF, I could see there being different QB1s across the board because it is, there's just not a clear cut. There's not a guy that you say, oh, of course that's Trevor Lawrence. That's the top guy. This is Joe Burrow or this is Kyler Murray. I don't think we're going to see that like we have in past years. Some people might like Howell. Some people might like Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, Matt Corral. It is completely wide open. But for us right now at PFF, it is Sam Howell at the moment.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I've seen Malik Willis play a little bit. I haven't watched tape like you guys. He has that wow factor, but I need consistency, and he scares me to death every time he drops back. But anyway, we'll see. All right, let's switch over to the playoffs. Obviously, big weekend in the National Football League coming up. My preseason pick to go to the Super Bowl, Steve, back in August, were the Rams and Buffalo, with Buffalo winning it. I'm not sure the Rams can beat the Packers. I think the Rams are going to beat the Bucks. I'm in the minority there. Just talk about the upcoming games and how you see they might play out.
Yeah, you picked the two teams that looked best coming out of Wild Card weekend, so that's at least looking good for you right now. I think the Rams have a legit shot against the Bucs. I think they match up well. I think, you know, we saw what the Rams did back in week three. I know the Bucs were really beat up in their secondary, but they could, you know, the Rams just dominated on third down, open receivers left and right. And if Matthew Stafford plays clean football, the Rams could absolutely make a move. I'm with you, too. I mean, it's tough to see Stafford maybe going into Lambeau and beating the Packers, but I think the Rams have a shot to make a run here because their stars looked like stars the other night, too. All the players that they traded for or signed, whether it's Stafford, OBJ, Von Miller, of course, Aaron Donald is already unblockable. A lot of good ingredients there for the Rams. The Bills, I think, just have that high-end potential, which was, again, the other night. If Josh Allen plays like that, they're unstoppable. I don't think he'll play like that every single week, but he has that ability to take over a game and make special downfield throws to add value as a runner, not just as a scrambler, but in the designed running game. So they build that entire offense around Josh Allen. So, yeah, I think there are a ton of fascinating games here. I think the Niners will give the Packers a game, but the Packers are probably just too good for them, if Rodgers plays his game. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Packers-Rams. Bills-Chiefs will probably be the game of the week. The Bills are equipped to beat the Chiefs again, but, Kansas City's trending in the right direction. And I like the way Joe Burrow's playing. I like what he's capable of. I really think he's going to take Cincinnati to a Super Bowl at some point, and I think they can go into Tennessee and get the win. So I'll say I like the Bengals to win. Chiefs and Bills is a toss-up. I guess I would lean Bills there. And, them hosting the AFC Championship, and I could definitely see a Packers-Rams NFC Championship. But it is it's probably the best football weekend of the year, right? You've got the four divisional games and probably the at least eight of the nine best teams in the NFL. So it should be a great weekend.
Should. Andy has a question for you here on the Facebook Live brought to you by Mel Law. How important is it for the Bucs to get Fournette back on the field? And what is his current status?
Yeah, I think Fournette, it's not massively important. I think there's other parts of the Bucs game that are more important. I think where just having Giovanni Bernard last week, I thought was fine. You know, all you need is somebody to catch the underneath stuff from Brady. The Rams do a good job of taking away the downfield stuff. So Brady's going to drop back, look downfield, hit the check down. So to me, it's just having a running back that's going to catch the ball, get upfield. Fournette does it fine, but also Gio Bernard does it fine. So I don't think it's a massive difference. The Bucs will want to run the ball a little bit better than they did against the Rams the first time. I think that's where Fournette comes in. He did a much better job of creating after contacts than he had early in his career. So, yeah, I think he could be an important piece, but the most important piece, I think, is Brady playing like Brady and Mike Evans and Gronk, and then that third option stepping up if those guys are taken away. So you win games in the pass through with the pass game, and then, you know, Fournette could be a nice complementary option as a runner.
Yeah, my concern for the Bucs is the status of Tristan Wirfs, first of all.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, look, the Rams can rush the passer with their front four. They can get after Brady. I think losing Godwin is really going to catch up with them when they play a really good team, and it could be this week. And like I said, I don't get to watch the tape, but just watching on TV, I feel like the Bucs secondary is a weak link. I feel like the way the Rams can throw the football with their weapons, they can cause Tampa so many problems.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of that. The Bucs secondary, they have bouts where they just play a little bit soft. They do give up some separation on the back end. I also think their defensive line, I know we all remember them dominating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year, but it's not like their defensive line gets pressure at the same rate as a Rams team or other teams. You know, they're pretty good, but they're not dominant up front. So, yeah, I think the Rams have opportunities to move the ball, and it'll really come down to does Stafford's had bouts of just, you know, boneheaded plays and putting the ball in harm's way. If Stafford does that, the Bucs have a chance. If he plays a clean game like he did in Week 3 and like he did Monday night, Rams are really, really tough to beat. So I'm with you there. And then, yeah, you saw Tyler Johnson being just not on the same page with Brady on a bunch of stuff. That's where Chris Godwin was fantastic. So, yeah, Tyler Johnson replacing Chris Godwin, he's going to have to clean things up and play a little bit better.
Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. A few more minutes with Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. Dan has a Facebook Live question. Can Jacksonville trade the number one pick for multiple picks? Is there someone worth that number one pick out there?
I mean, it's on paper, it's a great strategy. I don't think there's anyone worth it, though. I mean, the Jags are in a really tough spot with number one overall because they're going to be looking at a couple defensive linemen with Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan or Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon. You might consider a Derek Stingley, the corner from LSU, and then you might consider an Evan Neal, offensive tackle from Alabama. But none of those players, you don't really want to use that number one overall pick. But also, I don't think other teams want to use that number one overall pick either. So, and then you get to that, what I said earlier about the quarterback, because there's not a clear cut number one, I don't think there's a huge market for teams to get up to number one to get one of these QBs, unless something emerges, Malik Willis or whoever has a great Senior Bowl, gets all the hype. Everybody seems to be on board with one guy coming out of February and March. I don't think it's going to be easy to trade the number one pick. It's the best move for the Jags. It's always the best move to trade down, accumulate picks, and that's how you build your roster. I just don't think there's going to be much of a market for it.
Last thing, maybe I'm in the minority here, but and I don't get to watch a lot of their games, but every time I watch the 49ers, I think Kyle Shanahan might be the best play caller in the league. His creativity, the way he schemes people, the way he uses the Deebo Samuels of the world. Just your thoughts on, you know, I think sometimes he outsmarts himself almost. Do you think he's a tremendous play caller?
He is, yeah. I mean, not only does he get guys in space like Deebo, but they've done a nice job of accumulating that kind of talent too, right? You're getting a unique player like Deebo Samuel, a George Kittle, even a Kyle Juszczyk at fullback, right? I mean, here's a guy that plays fullback that runs like a tight end. That creates mismatches. Then they draft Brandon Ayuk in the first round. He was slumping earlier in the year, but he's just got length and explosiveness. So everywhere you turn, Kyle does a great job of getting players in space, and the players that he gets in space are crazy explosive. And then, you know, when you put a wide receiver in the backfield, that just breaks defenses. When you put Deebo at running back, defenses can't match up because they're like, oh, he's a receiver. We have to put a corner opposite him. So your box count's all screwed up and your run fits are all screwed up. And then Deebo runs the ball like the best running back in the NFL. So, yeah, I think it's a great – it's been a great team-building effort by the 49ers getting the right players and then pairing them with Kyle Shanahan, who just has a history. I mean, he made Matt Schaub put up ridiculous numbers. The best quarterback Kyle's ever coached was Matt Ryan, and he went from very good to MVP for a year. There's just a history of Kyle Shanahan creating offense, and he's doing it right now with the Niners and doing it right now with Jimmy G.
Yeah, he's outstanding. Steve, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate your time. Let everybody know how they can check out your work and how they can check out all of Pro Football Focus's stuff.
Yeah, all of our great grades and stats are at PFF.com. And then I'm on two different podcasts for PFF, the PFF NFL podcast, and then the PFF NFL Daily, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Awesome, man. Well, enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon, bud.
All righty. Thanks, Shane. Appreciate it.
Yep, that's Steve Palazzolo. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. I'm going to take our final time out, come back, wrap up this Wednesday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gator's Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Nike, Regal Cinemas, Le Macaron, Dave & Buster's, Medici's, Palmetto Moon, and the HBC's restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, now serving brunch on Saturday and Sundays. We'll see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. Really appreciate Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. You can follow Steve on Twitter at PFF_Steve. Let's get to this day in sports brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. They're hiring right now. Give them a call, $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions, 352-376-2366. In 2002, the Tuck Rule game, the AFC divisional playoff game, with under two minutes to play, New England trailed the Oakland Raiders 13-10 in a driving snowstorm. Tom Brady fumbles, ruled an incomplete pass, and the Patriots went on to win 16-13 in overtime. Still don't know if that was a forward pass. But anyway, I'm going to go on record right now. What is today's date? The 19th of January. And whoever drafts Malik Willis in the first round, good luck to your team. I don't think he can play, as they say, dead in a Western. I don't think he'll be a good National Football League quarterback. I could be wrong. That's my opinion. I haven't really looked at all the other quarterbacks coming out, but I have no idea how they have him as the number one quarterback in this year's draft. Gator basketball tonight, 6:30 Mississippi State. Very good basketball team rolling in here. Physical, can get after it. So it's kind of a must-win situation for the Gators. Hope you enjoyed today's program. Today's show's a wrap, brought to you by Rap Spot. We'll see you tomorrow.
Trying to get the fans fired up. Second down and 10. Matthews rolling to his right in trouble. Can't find anyone. Now he throws it for Harrison Houston, who makes the catch. He's in the open field. Harrison to the 20. They're not going to catch him. Touchdown, Gators!
We'll be right back.